Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Those who went before, those who followed, were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Well, it's an exciting Sunday for the people of Jerusalem. The great springtime festival of Passover is only 4 days away. The city is filled up with Passover pilgrims coming from far and wide for the most important celebration of the year. Picture New Year's, 4th of July, and Thanksgiving rolled into one. Thousands of people streaming into the city through every gate. And then, in the midst of all this bustle, a disturbance. And anyone standing nearby the Eastern Gate, or Golden Gate, as it was called, would have heard, even over the ordinary clamor, the sound. And what was it? A man riding through the gate on a young donkey, although he himself was not the source of the disturbance. It was the people. A crowd of people surrounding him, throwing their cloaks on the road in front of him, throwing down leafy branches, and everybody shouting. What are they shouting? Hosanna. This, of course, is the famous story of Jesus appearing in Jerusalem, publicly declaring himself to be the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior of the Jews. We like this story. And of course, normally, when we remember it, when we talk about it, when we celebrate it, we do so in the springtime, on the Sunday before Easter. Palm Sunday, we call it. We may decorate with palm branches. Some churches may even wave palm branches around, have a little procession. We really like this story, we Christians. In fact, it's one of the stories we like so much, we give it a special name. We call it the triumphal entry. And the church has been liking this story for a long time. You can tell because in the Bible, in the New Testament, this story is told 4 times. That's how much we like it. It's one of the few events beside the feeding of the 5,000, the crucifixion, the resurrection. It's on the short list of stories told by all 4 gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The church likes the triumphal entry. And 3 of the writers, Matthew, Mark, and John, when they tell the story of the triumphal entry, they tell us that the crowd was using this word, Hosanna. Now, not Luke. Luke is odd man out. No Hosannas for Luke. Luke is not interested in this matter of Hosanna. And since this year, you might remember, back in March, we did our Palm Sunday work from Luke, read Luke's version, preached Luke's version of the triumphal entry. We didn't talk about Hosanna then, except in passing so as to say we weren't going to talk about it. Some of you are like, yeah, Parson, I don't really remember Palm Sunday one way or the other. Did we do Luke? We did Luke. And consequently, we did not do Hosanna. But we're going to today. See, this is now the 3rd sermon in a 4-sermon series in which each sermon picks up and considers a single word. That's the title of the series, a single word. And in this series, we're talking about words that can change your life. Not magic words as such, though almost. Bible words. 2 weeks ago, Abba. Last week, Hallelujah. Today, Hosanna. Strange sounding words, perhaps. A little exotic. Plain enough, though, in their own languages. All the magic, if you will, is in learning to say and mean them. A little bit, I'm reminded of that moment from J.R.R. Tolkien's wonderful book, The Lord of the Rings, when the Fellowship of the Ring is standing outside the western gate of the great dwarf city of Khazad-dûm. It's the gate with the writing on it in Elvish letters. And if you've read the book, You'll maybe remember that the gate once long ago had been built as a sign of peace and friendship between the dwarf kingdom and a nearby kingdom of elves. Elves and dwarves, normally enemies, but here they had become friends. And in the story, poor Gandalf the wizard has been trying to open the magic gate, using every magical word of command he could possibly think of in every language he can remember, because written above the gate in the elvish language are the words, "Speak, friend, and enter." So he just needs to figure out the password. And he's trying, but none of his magic words are working. But then finally he gets it. Now, do I need to say spoiler alert? I mean, I guess if you haven't read it, it's new to you, so spoiler alert. Gandalf realizes that he's looking at a pun. And all he needs to do is just say the ordinary elvish word for friend. Speak, friend, and enter. He does, and the doors open, because apparently not only in Equestria is friendship magic. That joke is for a very small and specific subset of fandom. But that's actually sort of Professor Tolkien's point in this bit of his story. The magic isn't in the words as such. The reason the word had power to open the gate is that in order to come through the gate, an elf had to be willing to say the word friend while facing the dwarf kingdom. Friend is a word that opens gates. Well, it's a bit, just a bit, like that with our word in this sermon, our words in this sermon series. These words are words that open gates in our lives. Not because the words are magic, but because when we learn to say these words and mean them, power flows. Which brings me back to this word, Hosanna. And by the way, contrary to what I wondered when I was a child, the word doesn't have anything to do with hoses. It's not the nickname of a female firefighter. Hosanna. That's a dumb joke, but I never get tired of it. But it is a word with a convoluted history. Last week we talked about the word hallelujah, and we learned that if you were to use Bible software or a website like Bible Gateway and do a global search, you'd find that hallelujah only appears in the Bible four times. And all of them are in the New Testament in a single chapter, Revelation chapter 19. That was last week. Well, the word Hosanna appears five times in the Bible, twice in Matthew, twice in Mark, once in John. But the thing is, they're all from this same story, the triumphal entry. And the question is, why is it so important to Matthew, Mark, and John to tell us about Hosanna? Although, to answer that question, we might need to back up and ask a simpler question. Why was Hosanna a thing that people were shouting? But of course, to answer that question, we might need to back up and ask an even simpler question, which is, what does Hosanna mean? Because I don't know about you, but if I didn't know any better, I might be tempted from this story to think of Hosanna as a sort of a hipster alternative to hallelujah. Get tired of saying hallelujah, that's played out. You know, these days, I'm more into saying Hosanna. You've probably never heard of it. And it's true, there are certain similarities between the two words. Like hallelujah, Hosanna is Hebrew. Although, if we were going to be strictly Hebraic about it, we would pronounce it Hosheana, which you can say, if you'd like, with me, Hosheana. And if we were going to be very strictly Hebraic about it, we would also have to acknowledge that in Hebrew, it's two separate words. Hebrew reads from right to left. Hosea is an imperative verb. It means save. We're going to do a little bit of grammar here, but don't zone out because this is worth knowing. Hosea, save, that's the first word. And then the little word na after it. which is an interjection. It's what Hebrew scholars call the particle of entreaty. And it's a word that's sort of hard to bring into English. Now the translators, they try. So for instance, Abraham talking to God in Genesis 18, asking God to spare the city of Sodom, Abraham says, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry and I will speak." That's the English Standard Version. And the O there is the Hebrew particle na. Or in Exodus 33, Moses prays for the people because they're all wayward and stuff. And God says, "I'll do what you ask. You've found favor in my sight." And Moses says, "Please show me your glory." The please there in the Hebrew is that particle na. Sometimes the translators will try to pretty it up a little bit. So for instance, Psalm 116. I love to read this at funerals. Great funeral psalm. The psalmist says, "Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul." The "I pray" in Hebrew, that's na. So essentially na is a word that you could use to throw into a request to add a kind of urgency. In fact, if you drill down, the most basic and honest translation of the word into English would be now. Of course, translators don't usually translate it now. I'm letting you in here on a translator secret, by the way. They back away from that because Christians, a lot of the time, don't like to hear people talking to God like that, even if it is Abraham and Moses. You don't say now to God. But the thing is, they did. Abraham prays, "Let not the Lord be angry now." Moses prays, "Show me your glory now." The psalmist prays, "O Lord, deliver my soul now." You know, I'm just going to say, as Bible readers, we might end up making our prayers a little more real and honest if we were allowed to hear the great Bible heroes talking to God like that. Don't you think? Because this is not a now that is arrogant or ill-tempered. "Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, you better deliver my soul right now." No, it's a now that is pleading and urgent and desperate. "Lord, deliver my soul now. I need help." And the thing is, if we look through the Hebrew of the Old Testament, there's only one place where the word na comes together with that word Hoshea. When we track it down, that place begins to act like a key to our triumphal entry story. It's Psalm 118. Now, Psalm 118, if you want to turn there in your Bibles while I'm talking, you can. Psalm 118 was a special psalm. We remember that before there was ever the Bible, before anything was in the Bible, the Psalms were the hymnal of God's people. And Psalm 118 was a favorite. You know how it is. We have our favorites. True story, I have a collection of old hymnals. It's an occupational hazard. I don't actively collect old hymnals. It's just, they sort of come to me. But if you grab an old hymnal, if it's an old hymnal, been used a lot, it'll likely fall open to certain songs. This one from my library falls open most naturally at number 382, "God Be With You." You know, it used to be a custom in a lot of churches, back when churches had Sunday evening services, that the congregation would sing "God Be With You" as the last song of every single evening service. Week after week, "God Be With You." And the book got used to opening to that song. Pages are a little discolored even. Right there. From all the touching, right along the edges, where the thumbs would sit. It also falls open pretty easily to number 104, standing on the promises, leaning on the everlasting arms, number 134. We still sing those today, popular songs, but you know, it doesn't really fall open for number 138. I'm pretty willing to bet there weren't a lot of occasions for singing "When I Can Read My Title Clear." I tried singing it. It's not a keeper. Well, in the ancient Hebrew hymnal, Psalm 118 was a keeper. If you were to scroll through a scroll of the Psalms back in the days of Jesus, there'd be a lot of thumbprints at Psalm 118. Generations of people loving this song. In particular, Psalm 118 was a song usually sung in the autumn. They sang it during Sukkoth, the Feast of Tabernacles, long about mid-October. And if you go to Psalm 118 and work your way down to verses 25 and 26, there you'll see it. "Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." That "save us, we pray" is in the Hebrew our word, Hosanna. Quite literally, "save now." When the crowd was shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," they were quoting from this psalm. So that's what the word means and where it comes from. And all of that, I hope, was some useful information. I hope it'll deepen your understanding of the Word of God and the connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But now that we understand what Hosanna means, the question remains, why were they shouting it, though? Why were they shouting in the springtime, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, this word that is usually an autumnal word? That would be like someone yelling "Noel, Noel" in the middle of July. Well, they were shouting "Save us" because regardless of the time of the year, they saw in Jesus, whether they understood it correctly or not, they saw in him a hope of salvation. And they felt deeply that they needed saving. And they were so relieved, delighted, hopeful at seeing salvation at hand that they weren't going to be shy about crying out for it. Which is why Matthew and Mark and John want you to know about Hosanna. It's why I want you to know about Hosanna. Because I don't just want to give you information. I want to give you inspiration. See, if Abba is the word by which we make our claim on God as Father, and if hallelujah is the word by which we utter our praise, Hosanna is the word by which we cry out our need. What do I mean by that? Well, manifestly, at its most basic, Hosanna is a cry for help, isn't it? Would you agree that "save now" is a cry for help? But see, to ask for help requires us to admit that we need help. Otherwise, it's not terribly effective. I'm reminded of an occasion many years ago now. Some friends of mine and I were camping in the Big Bend National Park. That's them. I took the picture, so I'm not in it, but I assure you I was just as much of a filthy hippie as they were that day. And on this particular day, we'd gone down to the Rio Grande. We're just sort of playing around in the water, just guys having fun. And the thing about the Rio Grande on that day anyway is that it wasn't particularly deep, but the current was really moving. And one of the guys, we'll call him John, because that's his name, John, was a muscular fellow in those days, very V-shaped, top-heavy. John got his feet pulled out from under him in the water, and the current took him. And we were kind of laughing at him because it was him and not us. When he bobbed to the surface for a moment and said, "Some help would be nice." Well, that cracked us up even more. And then in a few moments, he smacked up against a boulder and grabbed it, climbed on the top of it, at which point we discovered he was mad. And he said, "Why didn't you guys help me?" And we said, "We thought you were kidding around." And he said, "I can't swim." Now that could have been really bad. But how come we didn't know he actually needed help? Why did we think he was kidding? Because he didn't sound like he needed help. There is a world of difference between "some help would be nice" and "help, I can't swim." But some of you, aren't you like that with God? You want help. You want deliverance from your bad habits or your bad situation or your bad choices or your bad outcomes. But then you come to God, "Hey, God, you know, if you've got a little extra salvation you're not using, just, you know, maybe lying around the throne room of heaven, I could maybe take that off your hands for you." Some of you, that's your approach. You want to ask for salvation, but you don't want to admit that you need saving. But the truth is, our need for salvation is desperate. All of us, rich, poor, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, conservative, liberal, old, young, male, female, it doesn't matter. The Bible puts it like this: all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now, sometimes I stop after a scripture and I ask the question, "Is that you?" But I don't have to ask that question right here because I already know that's you. Because the Bible says all. It says everyone. And you may say, "Well, I don't feel like I've gone astray." This is one of those places where your feelings are not a reliable guide. You're like a junior higher saying, "I don't feel tardy." How you feel doesn't matter. So the first thing about saying and meaning Hosanna is that it's a confession of the universal human condition. After all, what does Hosanna mean? It's two Hebrew words, Hoshea na. What do we all need? Saving. When do we all need it? Now. And by the way, that's the difference between Hosanna and Hallelujah. We talked last week about how Hallelujah is, if we're being precise, an exhortation to people to praise God. It is a human-to-human invitation. But Hosanna is, if we're being precise, a prayer. It is a human-to-God crying out. And because of that, it can never just be a confession of my need. It also has to be a confession of God's power. I need saving. He's the one who saves. You read the book of Revelation. There's this great moment in Revelation chapter 7 where the action kind of stops for a moment. And the book shows us this enormous multitude. Do you remember this? The author John says, every nation, tribe, people, and language. He says, the number is so great, no one can count that high. So it's a picture of all the saved, all from across the world, across all of time and space, all gathered together. And John describes them standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Salvation belongs to our God. understand, you don't get to be in that group photo unless you're willing to admit that salvation is God's thing, not yours. And it's when we're willing to do that that we can really hear Hosanna as the prayer that it is. When we first of all understand that we need saving, and then understand that all the salvation is on God's side, not ours, all that's left to do is cry out. Now, there's a lot of different ways that you can do that. You don't literally have to use the word Hosanna. There's no magical power in the syllables or the sound. You can be fancy, like our psalmist friend from Psalm 116 earlier. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Just read through the Psalms. And there are so many marvelous prayers for salvation. Some of them are elegant and poetic, like that one. Some of them are just desperate. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. That's Psalm 70, verse 1. Some of them crack me up a little bit. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. Dude, maybe next time, ask for help a little earlier. Some of you, you need that word today. Next time, ask for help a little earlier. And see, I don't want to just give you information and inspiration. I want to give you motivation. Because some of you need to quit waiting around and go ahead and cry out for help. You need to not wait till the waters are up to your neck to ask for God's deliverance. And again, we're talking about Hosanna. It's not a magic word. The word itself isn't the thing. It's knowing that you need help, that you need it now, that God can help, and then crying out. Personally, my usual is, hey God, it's me, done it again, help. But now some of us, here's where we have some trouble. Because we arrive at this place, and we know we need saving. We look at our lives, our marriages, our careers, our relationships, our self-image, and we know this is not who and what God created me to be. And we also know I can't fix this. It will not be fixed by another self-help journal or another seminar. It will not be fixed by someone cool telling me something awesome on YouTube or TikTok. This is beyond my ability. We get stuck. Is that you? You got stuck because you aren't sure. You aren't sure actually that God is willing to save you. Oh, you know that he can, and you know that he is willing to save other people. You know that he can save you, you just have no confidence that he wants to. Maybe you've been telling yourself a story. God wouldn't want someone like me. I've had people say that to me. Well, you know, I'd come visit your church, but I'm always afraid I'd burst into flame if I walked through the door. I always tell them I don't know why I walk through the door all the time. I don't burst into flames. If I ain't catching fire, ain't nobody catching fire, let me just tell you. The thing is, God is actually more willing to save us than some of us are willing to be saved. Maybe you have a long-standing foolish quarrel with God that you need to go ahead and mend today. Because you need saving. You can't save yourself from your bad habits, your bad choices, your bad situations, your bad outcomes. Maybe you got some bad theology. Maybe that's what you need to be saved from. You got some bad theology in your youth that led you to the idea that God only wants to save people who don't need saving that badly. And you also need saving from that. And sometimes people will ask, how do you know God's willing to save me? And the answer is, I know because he sent Jesus. Jesus said of himself, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And that is the lost. Utterly without qualifications. He did not say that he came to seek and save the nice lost. He didn't say that he came to save the lost who weren't all that lost, just a little lost. He didn't say, "Well, I'm here to seek and save the lost, but not you, buddy." The lost, pure and simple. Which means if you are lost, you qualify. If you're lost, you qualify for saving. Which brings us back to the triumphal entry with the branches and the people, right? The crowds going before him. Those that are following him are shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They're shouting. They're shouting. Because it's a celebration. However poorly they understood it, they knew this. They knew they needed saving. And Hosanna, Hosanna, the one who would bring salvation had come. Let's pray. I am so thankful, Lord, that when I need saving, you're there. That you save to the uttermost. That you are, in fact, the God of salvation. I'm so thankful that it doesn't depend on me. All I have to do is cry out. I don't have to shape up or earn it or deserve it or work on it a while before you'll help out. That you just sent Jesus. And Lord, this morning I want to lift up the people in my congregation who are struggling. Who are struggling with bad habits or bad choices or bad situations or bad outcomes, or who just aren't who and what you made them to be, and they need saving for that. Lord, I pray that they will avail themselves of the salvation that is theirs today. Teach us to cry out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.